Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable unto them. This morning, I want us to consider this phrase, "For where your treasure is." I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. We're going to look at the text there, make some applications for us today. It's so good to see everyone out. Some that haven't been able to be out for a while, and I know so many are going through so many health issues. It's just good to see everyone that is here. I want to read a few verses and then make a couple comments, and then we'll get into it here after we lay out some groundwork. In verse 16, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich with God.'" Notice the contrast between many years and this night. Dropping down to verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not seek what you should not eat, or what you should drink, nor have anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added unto you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." When I was looking for something to illustrate this, and the photo I had of the barn and the ones that I have on here, how many times have you just been driving around somewhere and you see a huge barn? Well, Jesus was telling this parable about the rich fool, and he had so much and he was going to tear down his barn and build bigger ones. I want to back up for a minute before I get into that too much. Have any of you ever had in your house a box about the size of this bottom of the podium, this wooden podium up here, a box about the bottom size, and like out in the front there's this screen that was about 19 inches big, and you got to see this wonderful black and white image on there, this wonderful black and white TV show in this big wooden box that took up half of your living room? Do you still have it? No. You probably replaced it with like a 21 inch. Some of you don't have no clue what I'm talking about. You probably replace it with like a 21-inch and then a 23-inch and then maybe a color TV and then maybe something bigger. And now it's not uncommon to go into someone's home and they have a TV bigger than the screen up here. Why is that? You see, the stuff we chase after does not satisfy us. I want this so much, and we get it, and then what? I want something else now. I want something bigger. I want something bigger, I want something better, I want something more color, faster, more sound, and none of that stuff satisfies us. And this rich fool thought, I'm going to take my ease, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, you fool, tonight your soul is going to be required of you. Our Lord never lost an opportunity of letting the light of truth shine into the darkness of sin in people's souls. He had just spoken this parable of a certain rich man to expose the sin and folly of covetousness. That's wanting something, wanting more and more. And when we look in the Old Testament under the law of Moses, and it mentions things not to covet, but we could have the sin of covetousness with things that are right within themselves, and it's just that wanting. I want more, I want more, I want more, without even involving taking from someone else's. So Jesus is going to explain to them the anxiety that can come about from chasing after worldly material things. This rich man, he probably could have had anything he wanted. Suddenly he dies a spiritual poor man. And that should teach us not to lay up treasures in our barn and then a bigger barn. That should teach us to lay up our treasures in heaven. So Jesus goes through 7 points to teach us this argument. The first is the value of life. Where is your treasure? Well, consider the value of your life. In verse 22, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. You know, as I mentioned Wednesday evening, this last week, now 2 weeks, has been a very anxious week for me. It's easy, I'll say for myself, to fall into that trap. I was reading something recently about it was from a doctor talking about margin in your life and how you got to have space in it. But he was talking about depression and anxiety. And with depression, people think that they are in this helpless state and there is nothing that they can do to get out of that helpless state. That's depression. And anxiety, they aren't in that state, but they are afraid they're going to get into that state. I'm afraid if I get on that plane, it's going to crash. I'm afraid if I try to do this, if I take this job, they're going to fire me. I'm afraid if I say this to this person, something's going to happen. They are anxious. He said, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about your life. We do not live to eat. Although sometimes we fall into that trap too, especially around the holidays. There's food and you just want to eat, eat, eat. But we eat to live. And God will provide food to us. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Now, we need to eat. We need to have clothes, but there's more to life than that. But how many people do you see with just those two things where their life revolves around What am I going to wear today? Or I got to get a new outfit. Which restaurant am I going to go to tonight? Which restaurant am I going to go to tomorrow night? Their life revolves around that. And again, while they're chasing all of that stuff, where are they laying up their treasure? This life is surely more than food and clothing, yet so many people get distracted. It's not by accident. Satan is out there after us every day. You turn on the TV, you look at your phone, you turn your computer on, and there's going to be something trying to take you down this certain path. A lot of times we just need to turn it off, leave it off, go do something, see somebody, read your Bible. Life is surely more than the meat that we eat for our flesh. As Christians, our life again should be to lay up treasures in heaven. And when we go through these things and look at these different principles, there is the lesson from the lesser to the greater. If God is going to do it for this, surely you know He's going to do it for you. So why are you worried? Why are you anxious? So the second principle that he mentions is the manner of the ravens. Where is your treasure? Consider the ravens. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious about the rest? You think of God's creation out there, the birds. They don't need to take aspirin or go see a doctor or talk to a counselor about their problems. God takes care of them. These little animals, God takes care of them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Why do we think that God's going to take care of these birds, but He's not going to take care of me? So the second reason that Christ gives us in that we should rest ourselves in God concerning the things of this present life is, again, that God takes care of the lesser. He's going to take care of the greater. And you stop and think about the animal kingdom. We are different than they are. I guess squirrels store nuts, but most of the animals, they just go out and get their food day by day, hunt for it, do something to capture it. But we want to go out. We want to take care of our daily food for the day. Nothing wrong with that. But then maybe, you know, there's that might be that snowstorm coming. I ought to get enough food for a week. Well, you know, they're saying bad things are going to happen out there in the world. Maybe I ought to stockpile for 6 months, maybe a year, maybe longer. Who knows how bad it could be? And you see, we take our mind off of God taking care of us. And we think that, well, I'm God of my life and I got to do everything myself. We need to learn the lesson from the ravens. This rich man, he was unconscious of his spiritual bankruptcy. The ravens, they are ignorant of where they get their food from. They don't understand that there is a God. Yet God takes care of them. And we know who God is. We know from Psalm 19, we can see the handiwork of God, all of His creation, and we know more than that because He's given us His revealed word. He's told us to read it. It has the answer to all of our problems. But what do? I don't have time to read the Bible. I'm too busy doing this and that. I've got to go here. I've got to go there. This person wants me to do this. This person wants me to do that. And where is my treasure? It's any and everywhere except in heaven. Because friends, we aren't going to get to heaven by accident. We are not going to get to heaven by accident. We've got a plan. We've got a purpose. We've got to diligently work toward it every day. Because again, Satan is going to try to get us off course. So the manner of the ravens. Well, the third point that Christ uses to illustrate this is the lilies. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? I mentioned in class the other night one of the if-then phrases in the Bible. And whenever you see, like in verse 28, if-then, then you keep reading because there's going to be an answer to this if-then, this argument. If then God so clothes the grass, which is today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Thinking of these lilies here, when we drive over and go home, we pass that lily field on Route 35. I'm guessing the owner of that died or whoever was taking care of that because it's all overgrown. But years driving past and forth, you would see those lilies grow up and open up, and that whole field was so beautiful. Consider the lilies. They neither toil nor spin. They aren't out there working, doing something. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Why were they so beautiful? God made them that way. That was the power of God. And those lilies, they're going to grow up. Today is in the field. Tomorrow is thrown into the oven. And just like the life of that lily, that beautiful lily, it's going to grow up, it's going to die, it's going to be discarded. Then what? Well, we are here for a short time. We're going to grow up, we're going to do as much as we can, be as beautiful as we can, and then what's going to happen to us? We are going to die. Are we going to be cast into that oven, or are we going to be escorted by the angels into paradise to wait for the judgment? Where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? I've got to ask myself that. Where's my treasure? Consider the knowledge of the Father. Do not seek what you should eat, drink, or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. I find this interesting. This is nothing new. Talking about anxiety, this is a problem back from the beginning of time. They're talking about it here in the New Testament in the first century. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. And this is beautiful in verse 30. Your Father knows that you need these things. God knows what I need. Sometimes I think God doesn't know what I need. He isn't giving me what I want. See, I'm thinking of what I want, and he's thinking of what I need. Sometimes, just thinking of the situation this last week, maybe I want this, and maybe he says, Bruce, you need more patience. You gotta wait. You gotta put your trust in me. But these are sweet words to a heavy heart. Your Father knows. And who said that? The Son, Jesus Christ, that left heaven, that left being with God. Just think if a relative came to you and brought news from someone else, and it was a relative that was close to this other relative of yours, and they said, Laura, don't you know so-and-so said this? And you would say, that's great news. And here Christ tells us, your Father knows, Christ that came from heaven, your Father knows that you need these things. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is your treasure? Our faith is probably in our treasure, and our treasure is not where it should be. Your Father knows that you need these things. Why trouble your heart and have anxious thoughts about them, like God doesn't know? And if we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, then we need to confidently say, I shall not want. But again, we want for this, we want for that, we want for something bigger. We aren't satisfied with that little 19-inch black and white TV where you got to wait for the tubes to warm up. We want that super-sized super TV. Do we covet the things in this world, or do we look forward to the things that will be in the next world? Where is our treasure? Where is our treasure? Consider the promise of Christ, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. We are to seek the kingdom first. We are to put God first. What comes before number one? Nothing. And sometimes we might wonder, why don't we have this or why don't we have that? Friends, when we seek the kingdom of God, when we put the kingdom first, the church first, and if I say I'm putting the church first, what am I doing for the church? What am I doing? How am I helping? Who am I praying for? Who am I talking to? If we put the kingdom first, if we put God first, all these things are going to be added to us. But you see, we've gotten our treasure off what we are told it should be, and we have our treasure out in the world. When our treasure is out in the world, we become restless. We become unsatisfied, dissatisfied. We always want more. We want something bigger. We want something better. And you think back, consider Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3. Then God said to him, and God, you know, told him, he asked him what he wanted. And he said, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, you've not asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I've given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you that which you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. Now Solomon had his faults, but when God told him, what do you want? When he asked him that, he said he wanted an understanding heart to discern justice. He wanted wisdom. Friends, we need to seek things like Solomon did so that we can understand God's word and do what is right and enjoy those things that will help us in the life to come. First, Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So sure, we talk about exercise, and it is profitable for our body, but how much do we exercise ourselves spiritually? Because this body, we can exercise every day till we die, and then we're dead. Where is your treasure? Consider the smallness of the flock. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. This is a beautiful passage. What God is going to give to us. Sell what you have. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail. You turn on any financial news and they'll talk about this is up, this is down, this is going to collapse. Friends, when we put our time, our service in God, not one minute of our time and effort is going to be wasted. It's going to be rewarded. We don't have to worry about working to accumulate something and then somebody stealing it, losing it. Where's our treasure? Where is your heart? Well, consider the character of the heart. Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's not so much the treasure, what the treasure is, as where it is that determines the nature of it. The human heart is always something that is dearly coveted as a treasure. You just think about a lifetime ago when you're dating someone and you want to win their heart. Friends, that's what God wants to do to us. He is like a husband trying to allure his bride. In the New Testament, Paul talks about the church being the bride of Christ. That involves the heart, the affections. So the affections of the heart and the real or imaginary treasure will always be wedded together. Seeing then that these things are needful for this present life, they're freely promised to us, that should relieve us of these anxious thoughts about them so that we can set our mind free on what? On the treasures that will last forever. But again, Satan comes along and he wants to distract us. If our treasure is in God, we will be richly, eternally rich. If our treasure is in this world, again, when we die, the treasure will go with us. And then we'll either receive punishment as our reward, we will receive death. So when you think about the character of the heart, you have to go back where your heart is, where your treasure is. What was the greatest commandment in the old law and the greatest commandment that Christ repeated to the rich young ruler? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all the mind. That's the number one commandment. What comes before that? What comes before that commandment? Friends, if we think it's something else, we need to be honest with ourselves. We aren't interested in God. We're just playing. If that is the number one commandment, what is the number one sin? The number one sin is breaking the number one commandment. Because if we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're going to do everything else that He tells us to do. We are going to do it willingly, lovingly, happily, right away. We're going to do it. Friends, where is your treasure? I pray that our treasures are in heaven, that we are working toward that end, that we are seeking the kingdom first. We are seeking to please God. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to make confession, needs prayers, needs to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.